Hi, my name is Neeraj and I work with Microsoft SQL Server Support Team. In this presentation, we will look at the inner workings of a procedure cache. So let's see what will be the agenda for this presentation. First, we will understand what objects make up the procedure cache, the structure of the procedure cache, and the interplay between procedure cache and SQL Server memory to provide a stable environment. The content of this presentation has been classified into two parts. Part one will deal with understanding or workings of a procedure cache, and the part two will deal with identifying and troubleshooting common issues related to procedure cache. With each new release of SQL Server, the query optimizer grows more complex. With growing complexity, the cost of query compilation grows to be more expensive as well. It is common to see application workloads run into all sorts of issues because of this additional cost incurred during query compilation. One of the primary goals of the procedure cache is to cache query plans and allow for their reuse, thus minimizing compile time and improving the server's performance. An application that makes efficient use of the procedure cache minimizes both the amount of CPU time spent in unnecessary query compilation and the amount of memory consumed by cached plans. An inefficient use of this cache can lead to everything from out-of-memory errors to excessive CPU use to poor query plans. Thus, it is important to understand what the procedure cache is made up of and how really it functions to be able to identify and troubleshoot issues related to procedure cache. So first, let's explore the procedure cache architecture. There are several different types of objects that can be stored in the procedure cache. Compile plans, execution context, cursors, and algebraizer trees. We will look at each one at a time and then put them all together to see how they fit in. So let's start with compile plans. When the query optimizer finishes compiling a query plan, the principal output is a compiled plan. A compiled plan is a set of instructions that describes exactly how SQL Server will implement a query. When you submit a T-SQL query for execution, all you have supplied is a set of logical instructions. There may be numerous ways for SQL Server to execute the query. The compile plan for the query, though, would tell SQL Server exactly which physical query operators to use. For example, the compile plan would specify whether to use an index seek, an index scan, or a table scan to retrieve rows from each table. Please keep in mind that a single compile plan represents a collection of all the query plans for a single T-SQL batch or a stored procedure. Also, compile plans are re-entrant, which is to say that if multiple users are simultaneously executing the same stored procedure, they can all share a single compiled plan. Let's now take a look at execution context. While executing a compile plan, SQL Server has to keep track of information about the state of execution, such as particular executions parameter and local variable values, which statement in the plan is currently being executed, and object IDs for any tables created during execution. This information is unique to a particular user, and that means it can't be stored in a compile plan that might be shared by multiple users. Instead, this information is stored in an execution context which can be used by a single user at a time. Unlike compile plans, execution contexts cannot be shared by multiple users who may be executing the same compile plan simultaneously, which means if there are two users executing the same stored procedure at the same time, each user will get its own execution context. So they cannot be shared simultaneously. However, once one user is done with an execution context, it can be reused by the next user to execute the same query. For this reason, execution contexts are cached. It is important to understand that each execution context is linked to a particular compile plan. Execution contexts are much cheaper to create than compile plans. So, under memory pressure, they are always aged out of the cache before compile plans. The other set of objects in the procedure cache are cursors. Cursors track the execution state of server-side cursors, including the cursor's current location within the result set. They share the same relationship to compile plan as execution context. Like execution context, cursors can be used by only one connection at a time, but the compile plan that the cursor is linked to can be concurrently used by multiple connections. Another type of cached object in the procedure cache are algebraizer trees. Now, the query optimizer does not directly work on raw query text that you have supplied. It requires a structured input. An algebraizer's job is to produce an algebraizer tree, which represents the logical structure of a query. An algebraizer performs tasks such as resolving table, column, and variable names to particular objects in the database and determining data types of any expressions. An algebraizer tree is also referred to as normalized tree or parsed tree. Because an algebraizer tree is used only during query compilation, they are not cached. After all, what will be the point of storing an algebraizer tree once you have a compile plan that you can use for any subsequent execution? An exception to this rule is that the algebraizer trees for views, defaults, and constraints are cached, since they may be referenced by multiple different queries. Caching the views algebraizer tree prevents SQL Server from repeatedly having to parse and algebraize the view every time another query is compiled that references the view. So now let's put them all together, because all these objects are closely related. When you send a query to SQL Server, the batch is parsed and fed into algebraizer, which provides an algebraizer tree. Algebraizer tree is handed off to the query optimizer, which uses it to produce a compile plan. Finally, in order to execute a compile plan, an execution context must be created to track runtime state. Besides the objects we have covered, there is another object of type extended proc, which represents a small cached object to track metadata for extended stored procedures. These objects, the extended stored procs, are quite cheap to create, and the amount of memory they use is also very small. Let's take a look at a few DMVs which can show us the contents of the procedure cache. So to start with the DMVs, the first one that we will be looking at is sysdm exec cache plans. Let's go ahead and execute this and see the current contents of the procedure cache. Each row that this DMV returns is for each query plan that is cached by SQL Server for faster query execution. You can use this DMV to find cached query plans, cached query text, the amount of memory taken by cached plans, and the reuse count of the cached plans. It is basically a DMV which shows us the health of the query plans that exist in the procedure cache. The plan handle in this DMV is a binary value used to identify a particular cached compile plan or a pass tree. You can pass the plan handle value to other DMVs or dynamic management functions to get additional information about the plan. For example, you can see the SQL text of the top 10 most frequent reused stored procedures in your procedure cache by running this particular query. Procedure cache also maintains the statistics for each of the cache plan. Using DM exec query stats, one can check the top consuming CPU or reads or writes queries using this query as on this slide. As you will notice from this output, we can take a look at the specific procedures and their relative cost in terms of the logical reads they performed, the amount of CPU they consumed, and also the amount of logical writes and logical reads. Coming back to one of our earlier DMVs, DM exec cached plans doesn't show cached execution context. To see them, you can pass a plan handle to the DMF DM exec cache plan dependent objects. This DMF returns one row for every dependent object of a compile plan when you pass a valid plan handle as a parameter. Coming back to the slide, we will now look at the structure of the procedure cache. The procedure cache is built on top of a caching infrastructure that exposes objects called cache stores. A cache store provides a common set of memory allocation interfaces that are reused for many different memory consumers inside SQL Server. The procedure cache is split into several cache stores. Object cache store is used to cache compile plans and related objects for stored procedures, functions, and triggers. SQL cache store holds plans for ad hoc and prepared queries. Other cache stores hold algebraizer trees and extended stored procedure objects. These are usually much smaller than SQL and object cache stores. So now let's take a look at a cache store hash table. Within each cache store is a hash table that allows for efficient lookup of the plans. Each plan is assigned a hash value, and this value determines which bucket within the hash table will hold the plan. Multiple plans may reside in the same hash bucket, but SQL Server limits the number of entries in each cache store in an attempt to prevent excessive plan lookup times. SQL and object cache store are each permitted to grow approximately 160,000 entries on 64-bit server and approximately 40,000 entries on most 32-bit server. Again, servers smaller with buffer pool are likely to have relatively fewer buckets than the numbers mentioned here. So to recap about the cache store hash table, each cache store holds a hash table, and the hash table is divided into buckets. Each bucket holds zero or more cached compile plans. Each compile plan may contain cached execution context and cached cursors. Let's move on and look at the procedure cache and the memory aspect of SQL Server. Since the procedure cache resides in memory, there is a close relationship where overall state of one affects the other. When there is a need to reclaim memory that is being used by cache plans, a thread begins to examine the contents of the cache, looking for cached objects that can be freed to make room for new entries. The cached objects are examined in sequence. When the end of the cache is reached, the scan begins again at the beginning. This circular search is sometimes referred to as clock sweep. Let us understand how the procedure cache, specifically in relation to overall memory, has evolved over different releases of SQL Server. In SQL Server 2000, when a compile plan or execution context is first stored in the procedure cache, its cost is set to an initial value that is related to how expensive it was to compile the plan. The cost is a number that reflects the amount of CPU, disk, and memory used during compilation of the query. Each time the clock sweep passes the plan, its cost is decremented. Each time the plan is executed, its cost is restored to the initial compile cost. The plan is removed from the procedure cache if its cost ever reaches zero. In this way, infrequently used, cheaper plans are removed from the cache before frequently used or expensive plans. The thread that performs the clock sweep is called the lazy writer thread. Curiously, the same thread is responsible for aging old cache data pages out of the cache. Basically, on SQL Server 2000, a single unified cache for both cache data and cache query plans existed. Starting with SQL 2005, the procedure cache responds to memory pressure in a slightly different way. One difference is that the execution contexts are treated as part of the compile plan rather than being handled as separate cache objects. Every time the clock sweep passes a plan, the plan voluntarily releases half of the plan's cached execution context, even if the compile plan itself will survive that sweep and stay in the cache. Another difference is that the thread that ages out plans out of the cache is called the resource monitor thread. Unlike SQL 2000, where all different cache stores were stored together in one cache, starting SQL 2005, we have different cache store for each type of cache object. Cache store OBJCP type for stored procedure, functions, triggers. Cache store SQL CP type for ad hoc and prepared queries. Cache store PHDR for storing the algebraizer trees. Cache store XPROC for storing plans related to extended stored procedures. We can check the current size of the various cache stores that make up the procedure cache by querying DMOS memory cache counters DMV or by capturing counters in the SQL Server plan cache performance monitor object. Let's take a quick example of this DMV. So if we now run this query, which gets us the contents of DMOS memory cache counters, as you can see, the memory used by each cache store is broken down by single page allocations, multi-page allocations, and we can also check the number of entries count in each for each type of the cache store. Single page allocations come from the buffer pool, and multi-page allocations must be drawn from the non-buffer pool, which is typically smaller region than the buffer pool when on 32-bit SQL. SQL Server procedure cache shrinks in response to external memory pressure or internal size limits. External memory pressure occurs when the number of free buffers on the system drops below a minimum threshold, and the procedure cache is asked to release memory to make room for other memory consumers. Internal memory pressure occurs when the size of the procedure cache reaches certain limits. The first internal trigger to release cached objects occurs if the number of objects in the cache exceeds approximately 40,000 entries on a 32-bit server or approximately 160,000 objects on a 64-bit server. The second condition that can trigger movement of the internal clock hand is the amount of memory used by the procedure cache. So if we query sysdmos memory cache clock hands, you can see the current internal and external clock hands and the state. The state could be suspended or running, and also the amount of prior activity from each hand by querying this particular DMV. Certain query plans are never cached in the procedure cache, and of course, if they are not cached, they cannot be reused. Query plans for create update statistics, DBCC commands, create rebuild indexes, stored procedure, or query with recompile. Query with string literal or binary larger than 8KB. There is also a set of plans called zero-cost plans which may not be cached. Zero-cost plans are extremely inexpensive to compile. If every such plan is cached, the cache could fill up very quickly with plans which are not valuable. There are exceptions though. Zero-cost cursor fetch plans are cached since they are likely to be reused many times. Any plan that goes under full optimization is also cached. Zero-cost plan, if cached, will have an initial cost of zero, meaning that if no one has reused the plan, it is immediately discarded the first time the clock sweep encounters it. And here I've given some MSDN and blog links which you can refer for details. And this ends the video presentation for Procedure Cache Part 1. Part 2 will deal with identifying and troubleshooting common issues related to Procedure Cache. Please feel free to post your questions, feedback, and suggestions. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day ahead.